If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The what's of the Bible are generated by the why's. In other words, you will focus on what God is doing rather than why he's doing it. The what causes discouragement because you evaluate your life based on the what instead of why. The sovereignty of God causes you to focus on the why. The why is the relationship, not the what. The why is the relationship, not the what. The devil will have you focus on the what, and you'll miss the why. Okay, I'm done preaching now. We can go home. This is essential because the peace that comes from understanding the why is what's being taught in Psalm 23. You don't have a problem with God. You have a problem westernizing God. And let's understand the Western culture. The Western culture, number one, is capitalistic. Capitalistic means that you seek to benefit from something. And this culture enables you to benefit without feeling the pangs of guilt. We're not socialist. We're not communist, we're capitalistic. That means that I go out and I start a business so I can make money for me. I'm not starting a business to bless him. I'm starting a business to take care of me. You enter into the economy of God, you join the family of God with Western mindsets that teach God will bless me, but, comma, the blessing of God is the what. And we rejoice when the what comes. But you must ask, why did he just give you $10,000? Watch this. He gives Reverend James $20,000. He rejoices over the what. He just said, hallelujah. Now watch this. But God says, here's why. Because he needs a house. So you have to give that 20 to him because it's not for you. So you go around rejoicing over the what, but you forgot to say, Lord, why did you give it to me? And the Lord says, because this man of God needs it. And his faith is so stretched that he can't believe for it. Because he has so many problems getting on his mind. He has daughters to raise. He has a wife. He has all these things going on in his life. His faith can't push through it, but his faith can. So God gives him the what for his why. But since he's capitalistic, he thinks it's for him. So he sits over there saying, God, don't you hear me? God, don't you want to help me? And God is saying, I gave your money to James. He ain't listening. Now, obviously, he won't say that because then there'll be a fight. Then I have to take everybody to Vegas and put them in a ring somewhere because they don't understand the whys. Well, the shepherd's psalm gives you the why. Now, if you allow me to teach this the way I want to, or the way I can, if you allow me to do this, you'll walk away from Psalm 23 with a different perspective of God. Now, I need not read the entire text. You know it. They just sang it. But you know it. You were taught this as a child. But isn't it amazing that the most dynamic principles are taught to us when we're incapable of understanding? And the problem is you're still looking at God through those children's eyes. You think God is Santa Claus. The magnificent healer who never allows you to go through a condition. I underscore the adverb through. Your concept of God is capitalistic. He's doing things for me. Eternity past, nothing's created, it's just God. Eternally existing in three distinct beings. And all three of them are housed in this enigma called God. Everybody. Jesus even says, if you come to me, I will let you sit with me in my throne as I'm seated with my Father in his throne. But then we're told he has a throne, and his throne is in God's throne. But he starts out in God, never with his own identity till later. Isaiah says, Emmanuel, God with us. What he's saying is, through the Emmanuel concept, he's saying God is tabernacling with us. God is living with us. Jesus comes to live with us. Then he sent the Holy Spirit so that God could be in us. Why? Why? Not the experience of hallelujah, what? But why was the Holy Spirit dispatched to live in us? So that God could form Jesus in us. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. So that we can become like Jesus, he needs to go in, change your DNA. If any is in Christ, he's a new creature. Kainos, never a species that's never existed before, but he cannot do it from the outside. As great as Christ was with us, it did not facilitate change in us until God came in us to change us through DNA reconstruction. Right now, through scientific advancement, law enforcement people can take a sample of your blood, your sweat, your saliva, a follicle of your hair, and read your DNA. You agree? Okay. So now, even through DNA reading, they've been able to exonerate people who were proven guilty in the past. Thank God for DNA. So when they would take, say the person willingly gives the blood sample, they then take it and they match it with the DNA or the blood they find at the scene. Then it comes up, boom, positive hit. That's you. You did it. You cannot argue DNA. Now, when the devil takes your DNA now and runs a match, it doesn't match the sample that he had before Christ. So you're not in his family anymore. He matches that sample. He has to back up and say, that's no longer a satanic sample, because the Bible says that we are partakers of God's divine nature. Through the DNA change, his seed remains in us. That Greek word seed is sperma. In other words, God's DNA is now in you. Watch. Lord, help me. I want to do this. Okay. All right. I'm going to do it both ways. Let me preface it with this. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be crude. But give me a little slack. All right? You see those two children who just came down here. They look like who? Why do they look like their parents? DNA. Has anyone ever seen the metamorphosis of a wife where she begins to look like her husband? Some of you have. Now, others are like, but you're the ones that are married. Yeah, I ain't never. Don't believe all that marriage stuff you hear. That lady got up there. I said it this morning. She got up there and said, you can't change your husband. I've been changed. An angel in heaven ain't changed me. I've been changed. Come on, brothers. Tell that woman that she wasn't telling the truth. We've been changed, right, Coop? Amen. You can tell we've been changed. Isn't that right? Amen. He's been changed so much, he look over there to get permission to say it was all right. His eyes shot over. Judy, can I say, yep, you can say, yeah, you've been changed. He ain't never have to ask for permission before. Now, I understand what she's saying. But the truth is, we do. We get changed. Two things change: your salvation and marriage. Hopefully, in that order. Because if it's going to last, you need to get saved. But that's a whole different miracle. Let me get back to my song. How did that woman start looking like her husband? You say, well, it's because they spend time together. No, it ain't. It's because she's receiving his DNA. Now, I know some of you, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe that. That's nasty. Men of God shouldn't say that. I said it very nicely. It's inevitable that she will start taking on some of those things of him because that seed is going in. My God, don't you get it? Why do you think God puts such a premium on sexual intimacy between two married people? Because he knows the more they do it, the more they become connected. And why do you think the devil's trying to tear up your sexual intimacy, husband and wife? Now, if you ain't married, you shouldn't be having it. But why do you think because it makes you one. You aren't one just because you hear, I now pronounce you husband and wife. In God's economy, when you join together sexually, you're one. This is Psalm 23. Don't worry. I know some of you want to get out and walk out. I can't believe you brought me to that church today. That man up there talking about sex, intimacy. Well, then you don't understand prayer. Because prayer is worshipful intercourse with God. When you get up from prayer, he should have deposited who he is in you, and you start looking like, talking like, acting like him. But the devil has thrown the capitalistic idea into prayer, and you turn it into foreplay rather than intercourse. So you just talking about, give me this and give me that and give me the other, rather than the intimacy. When you really pray, you receive the Spirit of God. When you get up, you ought to be impregnated with God. And the foolishness that you had before dies off in the face of a DNA transplant.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
04216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Join Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Drama Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church as they present a dramatic skit inspired by Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. Come and interact with Bishop Lambert as he shares strategies for overcoming the challenges we face in today's culture. Pre-signed copies of the book will be available for purchase for $12 during this special evening. It's all taking place Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Church of Christian Compassion, located at 6121 Cedar Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where W. Lonnie Herndon serves as senior pastor. For more information, call 215-885-2585.